welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. We are excited that you are with us here today, and we are beginning a brand new sermon series entitled The Marks of Maturity, the marks of maturity, and that may kind of conjure a number of different thoughts that might come to mind, but we're going to be talking about what it looks like to demonstrate spiritual maturity in our life and how that might be lived out and experienced by us and for others around us. And there's a pretty common saying out there that has to do with the difference between age and the idea of growing up, and it really is boiled down to this type of a thought. It's that you have to grow older, but you don't have to grow up, right? Have you seen maybe a meme about that or maybe a poster along those lines? I've seen it expressed in that phrase. I've heard it said, you know, that growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional, and it's usually like some old guy shirtless on a Harley Davidson with his beard in the wind, something like that, jumping out of a plane, or a dad doing something silly and ridiculous with his kids, maybe something along that line. But it's to reinforce this idea that just because we're getting older doesn't mean that we have to act necessarily our age, and it's something to encourage us to still be playful and maybe whimsical, mischievous, to have wonder and awe at the world, or maybe just silly. And I found myself kind of entertaining those thoughts this week in preparation for this series, and I was in a local farm and ranch store here in Sterling, and I came across something that I could not resist purchasing. And I don't know if you've seen these before, but these are called chicken flingers. All right, chicken flingers. If you're looking for something to do today, it's a little cold, you might be stuck inside, swing by, pick up some chicken flingers here. And on here, it says that these fly up to 30 feet. And being the very mature and aged person I am, I'm actually curious as to how far 30 feet is. And I think that we should try this out. Is that all right? Can we try this out this morning? Does anybody want to receive a chicken flinger via through the air right now, here dead center? All right, I'm going to see if I can flip it towards the people who are online joining us at home and try to get it into your lap at the same time. That way we all get to participate. All right, so we'll see if this is truth in advertising. 30 feet. Wah, wah. I wonder if they'll take it back. I'll have to try to get that sealed back in the package. And I'm going to move this because I'm going to be distracted by that. I'm going to want to fling the second one in that package. But the point is, with that statement, that just because time has passed, right, doesn't mean that things have necessarily changed. You know, on our bodies, we who have traveled in life a little bit longer, we bear kind of the marks that life has given us through that aging process. But kind of the growing up part, it's, you know, maybe or maybe not in that sense. And one of the things that we're going to be focusing on is really that concept when it comes to spiritual growth, when it comes to spiritual maturity. Just because time has passed, it doesn't mean that we've necessarily grown. And it certainly doesn't imply on its own that we have matured at all. And we bear the marks of age on our body, but it doesn't mean that we've matured in our person. And one of the things that I've found at different seasons in my life in following Jesus, and things that I've seen expressed in others in the years that I've been in ministry, is that there's times as followers of Christ that we've been brought into the newness of life in Jesus. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a newness of life that you've received, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you've journeyed into spiritual maturity. The newness of life is true about you, but it may not have been something that you've journeyed through into maturity. And a lot of times what we assume to be spiritual maturity sometimes isn't even spiritual maturity at all. And so we're going to spend the next several weeks talking about what it looks like to bear the marks of actual spiritual growth in our lives. How is that to be enjoyed? How is that to be experienced? How is that to be expressed? How is that to be recognized and understood? And I'm going to encourage you, if you've got your Bible, to go ahead and get it out now. Those of you at home, if you would go ahead and get it out. If you're here in person, go ahead and lift it up. If you've got a smartphone or your tablet, open up your Bible app Lord, we ask that today that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would speak to us through your living word, Lord, that you would give us an earnest heart to allow you to assess us, to allow you to reveal to us what is true. And Lord, give us the courage to respond today in the way that you would lead us, that we would walk into the fullness of your plans and purposes for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about the marks of maturity. We're going to be talking about what it looks like to grow spiritually mature. But we're going to start with really, before we get into the details of what that might look like, we're going to start with kind of some big ideas that's going to help frame out really the playground that we're going to play in as we discover these things. And if you've got your Bible, you should already have it out. You can go to Psalm chapter 1, and that's going to be where we begin this morning. We're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 1. And what the psalmist does here as he begins is he really creates a contrast between two different ways that you can experience life, two different ways that you can live your life. And one is out of alignment with the things of God, or kind of disconnected or disjoined from the things of God. And the other is to be aligned or connected or walking in accordance with the things of God. And those two trajectories lead to two very different places and two vastly different experiences for us in life. But it begins with understanding what it looks like to actually have life. And so we want to look at what it looks like to have life in Christ and then see how that has matured in our journey with him. But we're going to start in Psalm chapter 1, and it says this. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers." So there's a way that we could live our lives that aligns ourselves in oppositions to the things of God, but that's not the blessed way. That's not the fruitful way. That's not the abundant life way. That's the other way. The one who is blessed doesn't live that way, but lives this way. Look at verse 2. "The one who is blessed delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night." And I want to unpack that for just a second, because most of the time when we read that verse, we narrow our viewpoint or our understanding of it to just God's word. So there's a way to live a life that is sinful and rebellious, and then there's a way to live life in aligned with God's word. And that's a good place to start with this. But the idea of the law of the Lord is bigger than just whatever your Bible is in front of you. It has to do with being aligned with the way that God has intended life to be lived or creation to be governed. It's a much bigger perspective than just the scripture. But it includes that, and this is our starting point always. It's the clearest and easiest way for us to recognize what that is. But the way of life being contrasted here is there's a way for you to have breath in your lungs. There's a way for you to exist but not live a life that is really the life God intended for you. You can go in the way of the wicked, the way of the sinners, the way of the mockers, those who would scoff at the things of God, and you can exist that way, but it is not real life. And it's not the life that God has intended. And then for you and I, if we have received Christ, there's another way to live. We have received new life in Jesus. And that life is in alignment with the law of the Lord. It's in alignment with the way that God has intended for you and I to be connected to him, connected to one another, and involved and participating in the things of God in the world. And so there's this kind of this comparison and contrast that contrasts two different ways for us to exist. Now, when we exist in Christ, there is a way for us to grow and flourish, and that's what the next verses talk about. That person, which person? The blessed one, the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, the one who is in right alignment with the way that God has designed life to be lived. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. And so what the beginning of Psalm 1 does is it outlines for us two different ways to kind of be in existence in the world, and it underscores this idea that you were not intended or created to just simply exist. That's why when you wake up in the morning and you go to work and you come home and you feel like, isn't there more to life than this? It's why we struggle with existential questions about purpose and the meaning of life and could there be more? It's the reason why you can attain all of the worldly success and at the end of that feel like your mouth is still full of something bitter, that it's unfulfilling. It's the reason why you can be at the pinnacle of what the world would say is success and still feel empty and depressed inside. Because you were created to do more than just exist and kind of live according to the brokenness of this world. You are actually created to have enduring and thriving life. And enduring and thriving life is something that you enjoy in Christ and that you walk into being matured in your life in alignment with Him as you journey with Jesus. And so Psalms kind of lays out this first idea that there is a way to live that's better than just existing. And that's what we want to start with, because when we start talking about the marks of maturity, being spiritually mature in the way that you live your life, you have to start with having received life in Christ. Otherwise, there really isn't an avenue for you to walk into spiritual maturity. Listen to me, you can't get there on your own. You can become kind of pseudo-spiritual, and there's a lot of people that are taking many different avenues to somehow attain their own spiritual enlightenment. But at the end of that, it's empty and hollow because they got there with self, and self is at the end of that journey. You have to come to Jesus and go with Jesus to get anywhere that's worth getting to. And so we got to begin with that. But this idea of having life, this idea that God has designed you to be a tree planted by streams of water, that idea broadens from just being alive to having two things demonstrated in the type of life that you live, and you find them in the next verses. See, in Northeast Colorado right now, we would say that we're in the middle of a drought. In fact, one of the things I was reading was an article in the paper this week talking about just the drought in Colorado in general, and kind of the reservoirs and things like that. And you know, out here, like our reservoirs are in critical condition right now. The Front Range doesn't actually have the same type of stuff going on. In fact, they're still at like 60 to 80% capacity. And out here, like, we are below 20% in a lot of places, and even less than that in some. And so we are in a place where we are deeply in need of water. And in our yard, only the places that I've had the sprinkler on has any growth or greenery at all. And everything else looks like probably your yard or somebody else's. But if you go down to the river bottom, right, if you go down to the North Platte, or if you drive north out of here and go up to the North or South Platte, North Platte, you guys are with me, right? You're a bright group. But if you go down into the river bottoms, the trees are still green, other than the leaves starting to turn with the fall. There's still life, there's still vibrancy, there's still a ton of growth. And that's the picture that's given here, that when we live life according to the way that God has intended it, that there's this growth and there's this flourishing. But it creates something else as well, and these are two buckets that we want to recognize. The ideas of the next several weeks are going to connect to. Because the life that God has intended you to live is to be characterized by these two things. And if you're a note taker, I would encourage you to just kind of be ready for the space. The first thing is this, right? The person is like a tree planted by streams of water. So there's a life, there's a thriving, enduring vibrancy. And then look at the first thing that characterizes this type of life. This tree yields its fruit in season. And this is the first thought that I want you to hold on to as we go into this series, and that's this, that you weren't created to simply exist, but you were to have enduring, thriving life that was fruitful, that is fruitful. There's a fruitfulness to the life that you live that is something that God desires for you and something that is on offer for you in Christ. That there's this fruitful life that God intends for us. And this has to do with being both productive and multiplicative. It means that the life that God has designed for you to live is to be something that produces fruit, but also has multiplied impact for the world around you. That the idea of being fruitful and multiply from the very beginning in Genesis was the way that God has threaded His intention for you and I to enjoy life. That the things that we're a part of should bear spiritual fruit and have compounding impact on the world around us. Tangible results that are exponential. And again, we have to frame our thoughts around this. Listen to me. You cannot live a fruitful life apart from Jesus. You cannot live a fruitful life apart from Jesus. And so as we start to think about being planted by the river and having life in us, to being alive in Christ, and then I'm going to be fruitful, this isn't you have to try harder, although there are things that you have to say I'm going to be a part of. But it's not effort-driven. It's not works-driven. You can't produce this just out of your own resolve. This is something that has to come because of Christ at work in you as you have aligned yourself to not just receive life in Christ, but to journey with him where he would lead. In John chapter 15, there's a whole passage that I would encourage you to read on your own, but Jesus talks about being the vine and you being the branches. Many of you would be familiar with this portion of Scripture, but the point of the whole passage, and we skew it. Sometimes we think of it in terms of salvation, but the point of the passage isn't heaven or hell. It has to do with fruitfulness. Enjoying the blessings of God in your life in a way that is something that you experience and the world experiences as a result of you being in it. It's an issue of fruitfulness. And in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says this. He says, remain in me, or a better way to say this would be, hold on to me as I remain in you, or as I hold on to you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. A branch that is broken off and cast to the ground, no fruit's coming out of that next year. Okay, it's got to be connected to the source of life. And so Jesus is using this metaphor for us to recognize what he's talking about. No vine can bear fruit on its own. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. And so it's a great reminder for us that Christ has given us new life, and as we hold on to him, as we remain in him, one of the results of that is as his spirit is at work in us, it produces spiritual fruit. That fruitfulness is connected to that. And so here's a good question. So how do I do that? How do I remain in him? How do I abide in him? That's another way that it would be translated. Pastor Ben, how do I just hold on to Jesus? And here's a few ways that we can do that. One is that we have placed our trust in him. And placing our trust in him, it's not just kind of this cognitive statement. It's not just a, yeah, I trust Jesus. To trust something means you put your weight on it. You kind of lean into it. You know, it'd be much like if I moved my hot green tea because it's cold out today. I know you're always wondering what's in there. It's hot green tea today. But if I moved that and sat down on the stool, I would be putting my trust in that stool to hold me up and to keep me from falling and being foolish in front of you. Trust has to do with that. How do we abide in Christ? We put our trust in him. We lean into him. We hold fast, which means that as things get difficult around us, that we don't let go, that we're not put off by that, but we just stick close to Jesus. We receive his word, and we receive his spirit. We allow the Word of God to inform the way that we live our life and the Spirit of God to bring direction, and we respond in obedience to the things of God. Those are great ways to abide in him. And when we abide in him, there's fruit as a result of that. And this is a really important thing for us to think about, because if you would look at areas in your life that are not fruitful, that can be a little indicator that something maybe is disjointed in the way that you've connected to the Lord in that area. See, it's possible for you to be unfruitful in your relationship, in your marriage, but to be fruitful in other areas of your life. Like, it's possible for you to experience fruitfulness in one area of life and to have a lack of fruit in another. Because when it comes to the idea of being mature, right, there's areas of our life that we've grown and we've allowed the Lord to work in, and there are places where maybe we have not. And fruitfulness is a good litmus test for you and I to assess whether or not an area of our life is something that we have matured in. So if you just think about spiritual disciplines, is your prayer life something that is bearing fruit? Are you seeing results when you pray? Are you being drawn in a greater connection to the Lord? Is there a growing desire in you towards that? And if not, I would say you are immature, possibly, in that discipline, and there needs to be a growth journey that you go on with Jesus to mature in that area. And you could pick any of spiritual disciplines and perform that type of litmus test. You could look at any of your relationships and any of maybe the hard statements in Scripture, like love your enemy. That's a hard one, isn't it? Can I tell you something that I'm learning? Loving my enemy is different than just not hating my enemy. Those are not the same thing. Sometimes it's enough work to not hate your enemy or not hate your opponent politically, right? That we get to that point and we pat ourselves on the back and say, oh man, Jesus has really done a deep work. Not hating is not the same as loving. It's another step, isn't it? And so when I think of just even those terms, I'm like, oh man, I've grown a little, but I need to grow a lot more. And so those things can be helpful for us. But fruitful life, God has intended for you to have fruitful life. And so in the coming weeks as we look at this series, the places that you would be inspecting and assessing for marks of maturity, we're going to think about it in terms of fruitfulness. Are you fruitful in this area? Are you fruitful in that area? And then it's like, okay, let's go back and allow the Lord to assess us in that way. So the life that you're to have in Christ, one, is supposed to be fruitful. But there's a second component to this, and it's a big bucket place that I think many of us struggle with. And so we want to touch on it, too, as we frame out this series. And it has to do with being able to endure hardship. If you go back to Psalm, when it starts to characterize, what does it look like to live life in alignment with the things of God? Then when you walk that way, when you are aligned with the way that God has intended life to be lived, you are like a tree planted by the river, right? And you are yielding fruit. Oh, I'm so fruitful. But then check out the next part of verse 3. It says, and whose leaf does not wither. So the whole verse says that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. The life that God has intended for you and I to live out and enjoy with Him is a life that is characterized first by fruitfulness, but second by resiliency. It's being able to withstand difficulty. It would be a drought-resistant type of life that's being talked about here. The leaf does not wither. It doesn't mean that there isn't cause for withering. It doesn't mean that there's not hardship to be endured. It doesn't mean that drought conditions don't come. But I'm planted by the river, and I will be sustained by that life. And so when we are allowing the life of Christ to be the one who sustains us, we enjoy fruitfulness, but we also begin to build a resiliency that says in spite of circumstances, in spite of difficulties, in spite of challenges or opposition, I will not just endure, but I will be fruitful in that season as well. And for many of us, we don't see the need for, or we don't understand the importance of developing a resiliency in our faith and in our prayer life and in the way that we follow Jesus. Because sometimes we have a poor theology of suffering that suggests this: if we're dealing with difficulty, somehow I'm out of the will of God. And so when things get hard, sometimes we pull out when we're supposed to push through. Sometimes we try to avoid the discomfort when God is asking us to lean into it because He's doing a deep work in us. And just for an illustrative purpose, you guys all know that Jesus came to suffer. Like, that was literally the mission, right? The mission was to come and suffer unto death on the cross on your behalf so that we could enjoy salvation. He showed us the way that we're supposed to endure that for the fullness of fruitful, eternal life. And resiliency is something that in many areas of our life, we have not cultivated that. We've received new life in Christ, but we haven't followed Him through difficulties that creates a resiliency in us that's long-standing. And one of the things that you'll find if you're a careful reader of your Bible, especially in the New Testament, in Paul's letters to the church and in the letter of Hebrews and some of the other writers as well, there is a focus point on how do you deal with life that is difficult? Because isn't that a good question for us to have an answer towards? Like, we all deal with difficult things. And oftentimes, the writers focus on not resiliency as the word. That's the one that I would present to you today that encompasses kind of that scope of thought. But the biblical word that you'll find is endurance or perseverance. In fact, some of the writers would even say, when you go through difficulties, you should be excited about it because it's going to build perseverance in you. And it's like, I don't want to be excited about that. Right? It's difficult to go through difficulties. That's why those words are related. But resiliency is built in that way. Thriving life that is resilient is life that is thriving and fruitful in spite of circumstances, difficulties, setbacks, your past, the things that have been challenges in your life, and despite the discomfort that you are enduring. And let me just give you a little glimpse as to how the Lord might work in your life. Did you know He might allow discomfort in order to do something in you? That can be a hard thought for us. But in that passage of John chapter 15, as Jesus is unpacking this idea of Him being the vine and us being the branches, in the first two verses, He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser," or the one who is in charge of the vineyard, or the gardener. And it says that the things in us that are unfruitful, He will cut off and throw away, and the things that are fruitful, He will prune for greater fruitfulness. That the Lord will use pruning and shaping in your life in order to bring about even more fruit. And if you know horticulture, there's ways that you tend to plant where you cut off things that would be restrictive to produce more fruit. But there's also another way to create fruitfulness, and it's called grafting. It's where you take something that is healthy on one plant, and you take kind of a sprig or a cutting, and you transplant it into another one in order to create a different type of exponential fruitfulness. And God does that in our lives, but you do know He does that in churches as well. He's done that in our church family. Right? Last Sunday, if you guys were here with us, we celebrated Rich and Amy. They've been in our church for 28 years. And God has been moving in them. He's been growing them. And there's been ups and downs. And you could sit down over coffee and hear the seasons of life that they've gone through. But recently, they've leaned into the discomfort of being grown and matured and challenged. And then last week, we prayed over them because we are sending them away. We're kicking them out, right? We are sending them to Akron. And they're going to pastor the Akron Four Square Church there. They're submitting to another growth process of maturing and growing. And in about 6 months, they're going to be installed there as the lead pastors. And that's a grafting. That's where God has come into our family and taken somebody who's grown and has been fruitful and is in leadership, and He's cutting them out and He's putting them in another place in order to produce fruitfulness. And that sounds great until you're the pastor who's wondering how to fill the holes that Rich leaves. Because did you know that He didn't just do things behind the scenes, but He was one of our main worship leaders, and He was also one of our drummers? And did you notice today that we didn't have anybody on the drums? Did you know when you give your drummer away, like, you give your drummer away? But I want you to recognize something. As God grafts and as He moves resources in His kingdom, He always produces opportunity for new growth. And whenever somebody moves away from a table of service or leadership, it leaves a seat for somebody else to fill. And as a church family, I just want you to know this. We never believe that we are full at the table. Even if Rich was here, we would still say, if you're a drummer and God's pushing you to serve, we want to help you find a way to serve, or whatever capacity that would be. Don't ever look at ministry that is done here at the church and think, well, they have enough. We never have enough, because the goal isn't to just have somebody do something. It is to create space at the table for you to sit and grow into the man of God or the woman of God that you were created to be. There is always room for you at Jesus' table. You just need to hear that. That's a side note. That was free, not even in the notes. You're welcome. But this resilient life is something, again, that we participate in, but it doesn't start with us, and you need to hear this. This is not something that you can do without Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer reminds us about where we're to fix our eyes and how we're to endure or persevere. And he says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You could look at Psalm chapter 1 and say, let us not walk in the wrong ways, but let us do this, let us run with perseverance, or let us become resilient, or let us resolve to not allow our leaves to wither. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And how do we do that? Oh, in our own strength, striving in our own effort? No, don't do that. You're not going to make it. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of the faith, or hey, the one who does the work in you is a great way to think about that. Fruitful life and resilient life comes as a result of Jesus at work in you. But there is the way that we participate, right? So how do we abide in him? We trust, we hold fast, we have a high value for his word, we respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we walk in obedience. How do we persevere? Guess what? Same stuff. How do you endure? How do you become resilient? How do you push through the barrier when it becomes difficult? How do you hold still as dad prunes your life? Like, how do you do that? You trust, you hold fast, right? You receive his word and you respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You walk in obedience. But here's the added thing that's required for you to develop resiliency, and it's this, that in faith, you choose to do hard things. See, there's a place where we get to where Jesus says, hey, come and follow me. And it's into the valley of the shadow of death. It's into the difficult area. And it's to lead us to a new place of fruitfulness. It's to lead us to a place of stronger faith and deeper courage. But at some point, you have to cross the threshold into the shadow. You have to do the hard thing. And for many of us, in the areas of our life that we would look and we would say, hey, man, I'm not fruitful in that area of my life, oftentimes it's because we haven't allowed the Lord to prune us for fruitfulness. We have not become resilient in that area. As soon as it's gotten hard, we've tapped out and we've said, I can't do that right now. And the thing is that God loves you so much that he will bring you back to that pain point again and again and again. Doesn't that sound loving? Again and again, until you say, you know what, I'm willing to do hard things with Jesus. And it is an incredible, difficult step of faith. It requires faith, and he does the work, but we do have to respond in faith to get there. And the mature believer, whether we're talking about serving others or loving our enemy, as we unpack over the next several weeks what marks of spiritual maturity look like, the mature believer will be both resilient and fruitful in all of those areas. Resilient and fruitful, that there will be a vitality and a fertility to what God is doing, that there would be growth and maturation, that there would be exponential multiplication, and that there would be an enduring, persevering resiliency that comes as a result of that. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, and we're going to allow the Lord to just search our hearts. Worship team, if you would come back forward. And in this moment, what I'd like you to do is I want you to imagine what your life might look like this week if you responded to these series of questions. What would your life look like this week if you said yes to cultivating a resilient and fruitful life? Listen to me, you can just exist this next week. You can just wake up and go through the motions. You can just kind of be alive, I guess, but you won't feel alive. You'll still be empty inside, but you could just drag your feet through this next week, or you could choose today that as you walk in this next week, that you are going to look to cultivate a resilient and fruitful life, that you're going to abide in Christ, and that you're going to do hard things because you have full and utmost confidence and faith that he will walk you into those. What would your life look like if you made that choice today? What difficulty would you press through? Or what pruning would you be willing to endure? How would you choose to abide in Christ? Would it be through reviving your prayer life? Would it be through spending time in his word? Would it be through worshiping? What step would you take? Lord, we realize this morning that life apart from you isn't really life at all. That life apart from you is mere existence at its best. And at its worst is an anguish for our soul. So Jesus, we say yes to new life in you. But we also say yes to the journey of following you. We recognize that this doesn't happen in our own strength or our own resolve or by our own effort. That the part that we play is to choose to abide in you and to endure difficulties for the sake of fruitfulness. Jesus, you said that you were the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you. And so, Lord, for the places that we've tried in our own effort and we've gone in our own strength, would you forgive us? We come back to you today, and Jesus, we say yes to new life in you. And we say yes to abiding in you for fruitfulness. And we say yes to becoming resilient, to doing hard things. We ask that you would lead us this week into the fullness of what it looks like to be a tree planted by streams of water, to be fruitful and resilient. And Lord, in the coming weeks, help us to contend for that resilience and fruitfulness in each area of life, that you would call us to be mature in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you've got a smartphone or a tablet, I want to encourage you to take a picture up here of our action steps. You can always catch these online later on in the week. Number one is just consider where in your life the Lord is trying to prune you for fruitfulness. Here's a hint. It's a place that hurts, right? So look for that. And then in faith, lean into that discomfort of being pruned and invite the Lord to do his work. And then number three, resolve to endure the process. See it all the way through until it is finished.